We have two readings today. The first is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. That's on pages 551 and 52 in your pew Bible. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice came, a voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Our second reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And that's on page 764. In the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
So last week, we lit our first candle for this new year. And as has been true for generations, as we do the Advent wreath every year, we named that first candle Hope. And we proclaimed that as those who say we are followers of Jesus, we will stay awake, pay attention, wait expectantly, and act decisively, hopefully, as if the fullness of God's reign, God's desire for the earth, had already come to pass, despite any signs to the contrary. So the second Sunday, traditionally, we light the candle of peace. We are audacious and bold to say peace is God's desire. Peace will come again. In spite of everything going on in the world, indeed, in some ways, it seems a more dangerous world than ever before in my entire life. Well, here's a funny thing. 2,700 years ago, a voice speaking God's truth to the people spoke the words that Tom just read for us. What a beautiful piece of poetry this section of Isaiah is. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, Isaiah wrote, and we can hear the music, right, and ringing in our ears. Speak tenderly to which city? Jerusalem. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem that her suffering is over. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the highway. Valleys will be raised, mountains will be lowered, the uneven places will be smoothed out, the rough places will become a plain, and the glory of the Lord is such that all people will see it together. The vision of that is perfect. And then Isaiah adds a few more words. He says, a voice cries out, as first the voice cries out, prepare the way. Now another voice cries out that says, oh, life is fleeting. Life is fragile. Generation follows generation. And this vision doesn't happen. Why should we have hope? And then Isaiah finishes the passage and says, stop, get up to the highest mountain and shout out. In the strength of your voice, here is the one who you call God. God will feed the flock like a shepherd, gather the lambs in God's arm, hold them close to God's heart, and gently lead the mother sheep. Clearly, as those who follow Jesus, we see years after Isaiah, the image of Jesus fulfilling this passage. 2,700 years ago, our Jewish ancestors in the Middle East, in the land of Judah, where Jerusalem was the holy city, they were suffering mightily, and God spoke through Isaiah. Same message, same promise that we celebrate today. Tuesday of this week, our Jewish sisters and brothers will light the first candle of Hanukkah, which predates our celebration of Advent and has this great story. If some of you read the Valley News, you saw a very profound and powerful article yesterday by Dov Taylor, who is the rabbi in Woodstock, at Shavrat Kitov, which is a gathering for Jewish life and learning. He wrote about the origin of Hanukkah and reflected on the situation in Israel-Palestine, which our president made so much worse this week. Isaiah wrote 2,700 years ago, the victory of the Jewish Maccabees over the Syrian Greek Seleucids that were the conquerors of the time was written 2,182 years ago. These Greek conquerors had a ruler that you may have heard about in philosophy or Greek history named Antiochus, who was dubbed a madman by history's writers for his harsh and cruel treatment of the people. History says he was a tyrant of a rash and impetuous nature, contemptuous of religion and of the feelings of others. He killed thousands of Jews, established harsh decrees. Jewish worship was forbidden. The sacred scrolls were confiscated and burned. Towns were forced at sword point to have their inhabitants worship pagan gods rather than in their tradition, the God revealed in Torah. An army was sent, people assembled in Mitzpah, and for the Hanukkah story, the unlikely victory by those Jewish folks at Mitzpah. They then returned to the temple in Jerusalem to rededicate it, to make it sacred once again after the sacrilege. And there was only one cruse of pure oil left. enough to burn for one day, and oh, it burned for eight. And so Hanukkah is the remembrance of what is perceived as a miracle of God. It is light in the darkness. It is hope overcoming despair. It is peace coming to the people. Well, Dove Taylor yesterday wrote this. How many of us on the first Sunday of Hanukkah will connect the current Jewish yearning for national self-determination with the Palestinian struggle for national determination, or for the same rights and dignity that we Jewish folk claim for ourselves? What makes the struggle even more painful and poignant is the ironic fact that it is the mighty state of Israel that has now become the oppressor, with the support of some American Jews and the U.S. Congress, and underwritten by our government to the tune of $3.8 billion a year. For a Jewish rabbi to pen those words in the public press is to invite hate mail. He says, "My fellow Jews may not be happy. They confuse legitimate criticism with self-hatred or anti-Semitism, or they mistakenly believe the silence of most of the world during the Holocaust gives Israel a carte blanche to do now whatever it pleases, or they fear that washing our dirty linen in public will encourage anti-Semitism. Most of them have never been to the West Bank," he writes. "They do not see how the occupation oppresses, humiliates, and dispossesses Palestinians with its cruelty." I wanted to take the time to talk about Hanukkah and read Dove Taylor's words, because 2,700 years ago, we hear those great promises from the book of Isaiah. 2,183 years ago, we hear the story of Hanukkah. 2,000 years ago, we who followed Jesus believe there was another miraculous intervention of God in our world to make things different. You know the Bible begins in the beginning. Well, Mark, the first gospel written, says the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. Parallels. And then he quotes from the book of Isaiah, "I am sending a messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way, the voice of one crying, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the highway of our God." John the Baptist, crazy, wild-haired, camel-wearing, locust-eating John, was, we believe, the messenger of the new miracle of God's intervention in the world. And Mark is so curious. Mark says everyone was coming out to be baptized by John. Why? Because the human heart longs for hope and peace and possibility and a community where all are treated fairly. Then John says, "Oh, wait, I'm baptizing y'all with water. The one who's coming, the one I am the messenger of, the one I am proclaiming, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, will baptize you with the power to make things different." Sisters and brothers of Old South Church, we are indeed sisters and brothers of our Jewish neighbors. Same God, same longings, same theology of justice and peace, of care and community, the same requirement to battle oppression, whether from the halls of Congress or executive order, whether in town government, whether at school, at work, and clearly within the church. We have a high and holy calling to be bearers of the light of hope and to be the embodiment of the light of peace. I want to end my sermon this morning by playing a song that Peter Yarrow wrote years and years ago, Peter Paul and Mary fame. I remember the first time I heard it, Rabbi Taylor spoke of this, just a few key words. Light one candle for the pain of the Maccabee children when their right to exist was denied. Light one candle for the sacrifice that justice and freedom demand of the people. Light one candle for the wisdom to know when the peacemaker's time is at hand. Light one candle for the strength to never become the enemy. Light one candle for all we believe in, that anger not tear us apart. And light one candle to find us together with peace as the song in our heart. I think Peter Yarrow was writing gospel back in the early 80s, just like the gospel of the good news of hope and peace continues to be written in our lives. So take a breath and revisit this.
Thanks that their light didn't die. And light one candle for the pain they endured when their right to exist was denied. Light one candle for the terrible sacrifice justice and freedom demand. Light one candle for the wisdom to know when the peacemaker's time is at hand.
We can't let the light go out.